to the Spheres of Spirit with Natzy Myers, a.k.a. the Lady of the Light. Natzy will discuss the everyday magic and wisdom of spirit which surrounds each of us, waiting to be discovered. She will share some of her remarkable orb photos, proving that our angels, guides, loved ones in spirit, and even pets surround us and guide us in our physical world. During this episode, Natzy will discuss one of the many spheres or aspects of spirit available to us based on her orb photography. She will also share a special channeled message from her guide, Leonini, and do an oracle card reading to help guide you along your personal spiritual adventure. And now, here is your host, orb photographer, author, medium, and speaker, Natzy Myers.
Hi, welcome. So glad that you're sharing your time with us today. I am Natzy Myers, and I am just delighted to have a special guest today. I'd like everybody to meet my friend, Ani Williams. Hi, Ani.
Hi, and thank you so much, Natzy.
Oh, and my pleasure. I'm just delighted that you're here. You have so much to share with our audience. I want to tell you a little bit about Ani. Actually, I met Ani. Do you know, Ani, it's been 10 years since we first met in Scotland. 10 years.
Yes.
And Ani, we were on a tour. You were a co-leader of this tour in Scotland. And some amazing things happened on that tour, which I'm going to share in a little bit. But Ani is, she's an amazing harpist. Internationally known. She has 24 albums, I read now.
Something like that.
Amazing. You founded Sangaya Sound Medicine. You're a practitioner, a lecturer, a sound alchemist. And sound alchemy is listed here that it's bioacoustics that you talk about also, which is mirroring the song of the stars in the human energy field. I love that. And for 30 years, you have presented seminars and trainings all over the world. So Ani comes in with a wealth of knowledge and experience. So let me tell you a little bit about that experience in Scotland, if I could. This was my very first trip, and my husband was on the trip. And we had Ani talk to us about the sound, and we went to Fortingall, and we did a meditation. Now, Fortingall, Ani, do you want to tell the audience what's significant about Fortingall, that site?
Well, it has a very strong history of Celtic presence, and then Roman, and early Christian as well. And we were there because the co-host had written books on the presence of what she called the first family, mm-hmm. the influence of Yeshua, Jesus, and Mary, the Marys. Yes. So we were there to do rituals at the standing stones, the menhirs, they call them here. I'm in France right now. It's a different language.
Yes.
So we were doing some concentrated sound work at the stones in honor of that tradition that was practiced at that time by the Celts, Druids, and early Christians.
Yes, it was. And it was in this beautiful glen. And I talk about this story in my first book, but I say I was with Ani and Ani held up her harp. Do you remember that? And you let the wind play your harp. And then we did this meditation. And this is what happened to me, Ani. And I'm not sure you know this. It was the first time after we did the meditation and we're in this sacred place, in my mind's eye, I saw my son, Robbie, and he talked to me directly. That was the first time that ever happened. So to me, that was very, very special. So, Chris, can we bring up the first slide? I kind of want to set the tone here for our discussion. And this first slide, give Chris just a minute here to, there it is. This is a picture of a recent orb that I got, and I thought it was just phenomenal. But the quote is, go back to the first one, Chris, if you can. There it is. It says, the knower of the mystery of sound knows the mystery of the whole universe. And this is by an Indian professor of music and philosopher. Thank you, Chris.
Can I say something about that?
Absolutely.
Because Hazrat Inayat Khan is
Thank you for saying his name, because I knew I was going to mess it up.
That's okay, no problem. But he's been one of my guides from the other side ever since I started the sound work. And he has some of the most profound sound knowledge. And his tradition, the Sufis, which were more the esoteric aspect of Islam, coming out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that you shared that particular quote.
You know, it's so funny how spirit works, right? I had no idea that he was your guide, but this one jumped out at me and I went, oh, I have to use this.
Perfect.
Oh, that's synchronicity. That's crazy. That is crazy. So let me start with the first question. What is sound alchemy?
Basically, it's an ancient science that focuses on transformation, helping a person. For instance, traditional alchemy, as people understand it, is turning lead into gold, the transmutation process. Mm-hmm. And in this, with sound, it's transmutation of humans, animals, the earth, even spirit needs our sounds, our beautiful sounds. Mm. They thrive, everything thrives on beauty and harmony. So basically, it's the science of transmutation into our greater potentiality, our greater light selves, and transmuting that density and that gravity that holds us down to minutiae. You know, so often I notice my days are filled with minutiae, and it's like, oh, let me just go back to that music of creation, like Hazrat Inayat Khan speaks of. So it's basically helping people to find a way to transform.
Wow. Okay. You know, it's so interesting that you said even people in spirit need the music or spirit world. There's many stories of people who have had near-death experience. And one of the things that they describe is the music that they hear on the other side. Let me ask you this, and then I'll go into the sound as healing. How did you discover this, Ani? How did you get involved? Because we were talking briefly before the show, and you are one of the few people that I know that is such an expert and in this and trying to reteach it. So how did it come to you?
Well, first of all, there are many of us on the planet doing this.
Okay, well, I only know you.
There are variations on the theme of sound transformation, sound healing, therapy, etc. Many, many, and many people are jumping on board every day, which is exciting. How I got into this was a very gradual spirit. I'm not one of those people that all of a sudden I woke up one day and knew what I was going to be when I grew up. You know, it took me kind of an organic, natural stages of development. And it started by being a sensitive child, I think, and being in nature. And I had feedback from my cousins, and I had forgotten this. I always was singing and dancing, they said.
Oh.
So it was part of my persona and my solace, let's say, you know, my healing growing up. And then sensitivity to nature and invisible realms, etc. Then I began a long period of working with indigenous cultures and realizing as I traveled the world and participated in different rituals with indigenous people from the Americas, from the Middle East, from the Celtic traditions, that there was a common thread that ran through all of these traditions. They all use sound to create altered states of consciousness. They use sound and dance movement coming into circles. It was always, you know, forming a circle, coming into a unified field, and then using the sound to help create not only that unified field, but to lift the energy and actually open the portal between the dimensions. This is what shamans do with their drumming, or what ancient traditions always used with sacred music, to open the portal to other dimensions.
And this was ancient knowledge passed down. I mean, they've known this, and we have lost it here in the West, right? It's I don't know what happened. But so when, as you progressed through that and discovered, did I know that you've traveled to all these ancient sites and been there. Can you talk about what you discovered, pick maybe two or three, and what you discovered about sound in these ancient sites?
Oh, there are so many stories, but just right off the top, what comes to mind. And I didn't finish really that other part that I studied with indigenous cultures. And then went on to study the science of sound with many different teachers. But when I started traveling, I started noticing, I always had a harp with me. Sometimes it was a very small harp that would fit in the suitcase. But on one occasion, and I think this was one of the first big teachings of the power of sound, I was in Egypt in 1987, and I had a small harp with a strap, and I was walking through the temple of Abydos, the temple dedicated to Osiris. And I was playing the harp and singing particular tones that just came to me intuitively. And as I walked through the hypostyle hall with all the pillars, I noticed that it felt, and it seemed like audibly, that the walls were answering me. Now, of course, there's a strong resonant response in the temples, an echo effect. But actually, I felt like the stone came alive with the music, that it was always meant for music. And then I learned later that they were acoustically designed to amplify particular tones. And as I would walk through and make certain tones, there would be a different effect on my consciousness. Yes. And when I got to a particular chamber behind the hypostyle hall, still making simple tones with the harp, I entered an altered state, and it was so refined in that particular room that I could no longer even make any sound. Just being in the space with those reverberations was enough. So I learned that sound can put us through, and temples were designed to put us through into particular states of consciousness.
Yes. And are they attuned, Ani, to, I hear about, you know, is it the 437?
Not necessarily. Each space is attuned differently. And I think it's kind of, I mean, there is a perfection to the geometry in the 432 tuning. I will definitely agree with that. But as for what frequencies get people high, and what music, and what temples are aligned with what scales, it's a big, complex answer. Each space is aligned differently. What they did find, though, is a lot of the megalithic sites, such as the Hypogeum at Malta.
I've been there.
Or the inner chamber at Newgrange. They were designed to resonate at about 110 or 111 hertz, which is an A tone in the 440 tuning. So this is what we have to look at, that it's not just a 432. Anyway, this frequency of 110 or 111 hertz, it's so close that you can't really tell the difference. unless you're with the machine. But anyway, that frequency related to a male chanting voice. So it was a frequency that the temple was designed to reverberate stronger and accentuate the chanting that was done in the chamber. Wow. But that's an example of what you asked. And you asked for a couple of memories. One other one that comes to mind is maybe in the 1990s, I had just arrived in Glastonbury, totally jet-lagged with a girlfriend, and we were on a concert tour. And we couldn't sleep, and we were staying actually on the Glastonbury tour, right at the base of it, in a little hut. And we both saw these lights streaking back and forth. This is your kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Hundreds of lights streaking back and forth through the air. And it was like they were playing with us. And I assumed they were elementals of some sort that were really happy that we were there and trying to get our attention. But there was no way we were going to sleep with all those light activities going on around us. So my friend started doing a Tibetan mantra, and then I joined her. And we observed these lights moving from a chaotic movement into a perfect circle, a unified field, totally calm and totally coherent.
Organized and organized.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The sound and the mantra did that. So that was a big teaching. And it's not normal that I see all those subtle energies on the other dimensions. It's only once in a great while, but it was for a reason, to show me the power of sound, that wow. It can reorganize our cells, our energy field, and the energy field of the planet, which really, really needs our songs right now.
Yes. God, that's, you just tied in so many. I just got back from England, and I was at Glastonbury and the tour, and I just talked about it on my last show. But also the show before that, I talked about the language of the universe, which has been shown to me through the orbs, and it's the concentric circles, which on cymatics is kind of the sound of Om. That's how it organizes the sand that's sprinkled on that plate of the cymatic machine. As soon as you play Om, it goes right into, it organizes the energy, you know, into that. Right. So, wow, that's great confirmation for me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And of course, the Om is a part of almost every mantra. The Om syllable is one of the seed syllables making up the mantras in Sanskrit as well as Tibetan. So when we use those seed syllables, they're creation syllables. They're sounds that create states of being and organized matter. So yeah, what you said is absolutely true.
So what we listen to, what we hear, it's so important to us, and people don't realize that. You know, I like to listen to, you know, like classical music, or, you know, because it's I don't know, to me it's more balanced, you know. And then if I compare it to like a more hectic or frenetic sound of, you know, rap or metal, or I mean, I can feel, you know, if you're sensitive to that, you can feel it. It I don't know, it does funny things to me. But
everyone, and when you hear those boom boom boxes in cars that have the turned up powerful bass, and when they go through a community, everything is affected.
Yeah.
Everything has to reverberate at that, and they don't realize that they're putting like sound pollution out.
Yeah.
And everybody's affected. And they did a study when we had the big shutdowns globally with the COVID thing. And they did studies of natural kingdoms. And they all thrived. Birds were singing more because there weren't so many trucks and noises and boom boxes going by. You know, it really allowed nature to come into coherence and to thrive.
Wow.
Because what we had were the natural bird songs and not so much traffic and noise.
It's amazing when you get to a site where there's no man-made sounds and it's just silence, and you know, you can, it feels different.
Absolutely.
That's an interesting study. I hadn't heard that, but it makes total sense. You know, I quote Nikola Tesla a lot, and he kind of said, if you want to understand the universe, think in terms of sound, frequency, and vibration.
Yeah.
And so some of the sites that I've heard is they use that sound, frequency, and vibration. They had used it for healing. Do you have a story about someplace where you were that something happened or you understood it a little bit better about how they knew about this sound healing?
Oh my goodness. Well, it forms the basis of my work when I teach people about this. It's using specific frequencies to alter not only states of consciousness and coming into a coherent harmonious field where the brain, mind, body are speaking together and balanced, but also there are specific frequencies that have specific effects. For instance, every organ can respond to different frequencies. And so in my work, we use very specific frequencies for each person, depending mm-hmm. on what they need. And this is discovered through the voice diagnostics. What they found is, and I think you were asking more for an experience, like an organic experience or something.
Or anything that you've gleaned from that, you know, from seeing these.
So I can remember a moment in, I put out a series of sound meditations in 1994. And when they first came out, they were on cassettes. And now they're just MP3s, but that was then. And I was traveling in Mexico, and I was teaching and doing concerts and so forth. And I went to a particular office of a woman who was advertised to do massage. But when I arrived, I found out that she did sound therapy, light therapy, all sorts of things. And she started talking as she was interviewing me before the session about this young boy that had been exercised, healed of entities. You know, we don't know it, but a lot of people are walking around mm-hmm. with things stuck to them from different emotional experiences and different environments that they walk through. Anyway, this young boy, about 8 years old, had all these entities, and they were going to put him in a mental hospital. They just didn't know what to do with him. And she had been given one of my cassette tones, in the tone of E, as it happened. And it has a mantra on it and so forth. It has the harp and bells and all kinds of healing sounds. So she just was given that before I ever met her. And she put it on, and the little boy broke down in tears and the entities left him.
Wow. Wow.
And that's a beautiful example of what pure sound and mantra and beautiful instruments, like you brought up classical music. I play mm-hmm. the harp, so it was mm-hmm. the harp and the vocals that were doing that. And it totally released whatever had attached itself to him. And I also work with a lot of autistic children, children with disabilities in the clinics in Mexico. And we had incredible response of the children being able to make coordinated movements when they weren't before. Wow. A little boy who was totally chaotic in his movements, in his speech. We couldn't understand a thing he was saying, including his parents. And everybody started crying when I started playing a song specifically for him in a particular tuning. Uh-huh. He came over and started playing a duet with me, and he'd never played an instrument, never played the harp. He started playing music, and he was coherent, and he said harp and kissed me on the cheek. And his parents were crying because it was like the first time. So they got him an instrument. We got him his recordings of his special sounds that he needed. And he continued, and he became, what happens is that there's a disconnect between the brain and the sensory organs, the ability to hear, speak, smell, see in a coherent, harmonious way. And the brain is like the central computer. So when we find the right tones to set us free, all of those different functions and abilities to speak with coherence and clarity, they come back.
They flow, right? They reconnect and flow. That is an amazing story. I was lit up with goosebumps as you were telling that story. It's a perfect example and demonstration of the power of sound and the healing that we just don't take advantage of. But hopefully things are changing. You know,
they are. I know they are. People are hungry for this. I have people contact me every day and say, tell me more about this. I have a video. I can send you the link. It's a free video. I did a DVD years ago and somebody bootlegged it. It's an hour and a half of work. It was a lot of money and time and energy. And I was, at first I was like, well, who is this person? And I contacted him, you know, but it turned out he was a blessing in my life, because this little DVD that I did, hardly anybody really watched it. You know, it was just sitting on my website, you know, and once in a while somebody buy a copy. This guy, for whatever reason, it caught on with Instagram, with YouTube, with this and that. And over 1 million people have watched it.
Wow.
And received all kinds of inspiration and the knowledge of the ancient traditions that were used. I go through the Sufi and the Hebrew and the early Christian and the Egyptian, etc. And so all of that's in there. I can send you the link for your people.
Yes.
If you they can watch it.
We'll put it on the website. Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about the Christian and the instructions from Yeshua.
Yes. And,
okay, so we'll be right back.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities. The story told in Entering the Light Fantastic, Discovering Life After Life Through Orbs, is about Nancy Meyer's spiritual and emotional rising from the devastating ashes of loss caused by the sudden and unexpected passing of her son, Robbie. Just like the legend of the reborn phoenix, Nancy's life purpose and focus was transformed. With the help from her son in spirit, Nancy found herself providing proof through orbs that our souls do not die with our bodies. In her second book, Encircled by the Light Fantastic, A Deeper Journey into the Light with Orbs, Nancy continues chronicling her path of gaining spiritual knowledge and expanding acceptance of what is possible while traveling to many sacred and ancient sites around the world. She shares these experiences with you along with her photographs of remarkable spirit encounters.
When I first saw a turtle, my heart was full. Not anything but lonely.
We have this like deep connection, this heart connection.
He just wants to be close to you and part of your life.
Every day of a turtle is a perfect day.
When I'm holding her, it makes me feel calmer.
I think everything he does shows how much he loves us.
When we adopt a shelter pet, we discover they're a little bit of a lot of things.
but they're all pure love.
And we're back with this. It says, and this is an actual orb I just got this week, and I got green because, or I chose a green orb because green to me is healing in the heart. But here's the quote from your guide, Ani. Sound is the force of creation, the true whole. Music then becomes the voice of the great cosmic oneness, and therefore the optimal way to reach this final state of healing. Thank you, Chris. So this is a great lead-in for me, Ani, to talk about, because when I first met you, one of the first things that we talked about was making the sound of the vowels, a, e, o, u, right? Am I saying that correctly? And you told us, I remember, that, and if I'm messing this up, please correct me, this was Jesus's instructions to his disciples to reach him or to reach into the higher dimensions. Am I interpreting that correctly? And can you say where this came from and tell the audience the story of this?
Yeah. So the vowel progression, because each progression of vowels creates a different effect. The vowels are the creation syllables in those bijas. And so there is a Gnostic text that was not included in the Bible, but it is full of knowledge and wisdom. It's called the Pistis Sophia, the Faith of Wisdom. Mm-hmm. And in there, Yeshua gives a teaching in book 5 of the power of the vowels. And he says, I'm going to paraphrase, that if you want to know the light, learn the science of the vowels, use the vowels. And this particular chant that we were using at that time in Scotland was E-A-O, E-O-U-O, E-A-O, A-O-E-O-E-A. And each syllable relates to a different part of the body and the energy field. So anyway, we were doing that chant, which is called the Treasury of Light. And he gave that teaching to the disciples to create a garment of light, to create a light body. So in a way, it goes back to this idea of sound alchemy to transmute the state of our being. And in the ancient Egyptian traditions and Greek traditions, they had what was called magical papyri. They were papyrus sheets with these arrangements, a lot of times in a pyramid shape, of the various vowels that would create magical effects. Huh. So we were doing the vowels in that special sacred place at the stones to create the light, basically, to weave a garment of light for everyone present. And, as you said, to open the gateway to the spirit world. It does.
And it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I channel my guide and I have that chant written down and I open my meditation with that chant. I feel like it organizes me and gets me in the right space then to reach my higher self. So it's powerful. The power of sound is incredible, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I felt like that particular chant for the Treasury of Light would be so helpful to people. Mm-hmm. I included it in an online training that I've done. And there's a whole segment, a whole teaching segment just devoted to that one invocation. We created a video in an ancient castle here in Chateau in France around that mantra. We incorporated a whole section of the teaching modules in the sound alchemy training, just devoted to that one mantra, because it does have a very important role for us today in creating light where there's darkness or helping to dissolve fear. I know there's a lot going on in the world now, people are very distracted and sometimes very fearful and doubting what is our future. Especially right. young people have a lot of challenges now, a lot of unknowing, instability. How is our future Earth going to be if we're mm-hmm. looking at? So these sound tools can not only help to disperse fear, doubt, illness, stress, etc., but they can help to create a clear mind and heart so that we can move forward to be procreative, to find solutions, to be creative as you have, you know, in creating things that will inspire people.
Yeah, and what I love about the younger generation is, yes, they have a lot of challenges, but they seem to be open to, okay, let's find a different solution. You know, they're looking in new places. Yeah. But I want to talk about your training course here, since you brought that up. I want to let everybody know I was blessed to be able to take training with Ani, and it was amazing. You learned so much, but you've put together something new. You touched on that. Do you want to talk about what's available for people that are interested?
Right. Well, I've been bouncing around the world for about, it may be 40 years now, but about 30 doing the sound trainings and teaching people all over the world. And I am at a point now where I've retired from doing that. I did the last live training this last year. And so, or maybe it was a year ago. I think it was a year ago. Yeah. And I I've put all of the information from those trainings over the years, plus a lot more that we were able to put into 37 different modules. They're teaching videos with live chanting, showing the examples of what that chanting can do, giving examples of the power of sound to open the dimensions, to transform. I have a lot of client testimonials and experiential. It's a very experiential thing for the person who does it. So we have a lot of chanting in the modules as well, because that was a part of the live trainings that everybody said, well, but we're going to miss this if you stop doing this live. So I put plenty of chanting into the program so that it's helpful for people when they're taking in a lot of information mm-hmm. to just sit down and become integrated and synchronize the mind, body, spirit, to take in even more information. We called it expand your bandwidth in the last training I did. You know, we have to, it's like a radio station, mm-hmm. you know, and we have a particular bandwidth width that we can purchase or, you know, have coverage for. But now is the time to expand our bandwidth so that we can take in more information mm-hmm. and be more effective and more productive in our output at this time, because it's so important. And mentioning the young people, I think they're already there. I have more young people in their 20s and 30s coming to my trainings than any other age group.
That's
because
awesome.
They're already lit up. They already know this.
Yeah. 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 It's hopeful. To me, I have so much hope watching these. I call them kids. You know, it's like, you know, you guys bring me hope for the future. But so I will have a link when this is posted about how to access this training. And mm-hmm. is this something that you can do on your own schedule then, Ani?
Absolutely. I know a lot of things are, okay, sign up today and get a discount, blah, blah, blah. I didn't want to do that heavy push thing.
Yeah.
It's one big training. I'm not going to repeat putting another one together, most likely ever. And it's at your own pace. You can sign up when you're ready. There's a whole price thing you can pay, you know, in little segments. I want to make it available to more people, you know, because not everybody has a lot of money or time.
Right.
So it's designed to do on your own time, at your own pace, to review as much as you need. So once you sign up, it's yours. And I'll send you the link. There's a whole big set of pages on my website that explains how it works.
And what is your website called?
It's just AniWilliams.com.
That's easy. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we will put that. And it's the sound, the healing that occurs, the change that occurs. I know, because like I said, that was the first time that I saw my son in my mind's eye and he talked to me. You know, it's priceless. And how it makes you feel is, I mean, just the stories you said about the little boy that was healed, it's priceless. And we've lost this. So I'm so glad that this is being offered to the world again. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. So I want to talk a little bit. You said, I can talk about how sacred music and chant creates orb plasma appearances and opens portals between the dimensions. So you mentioned the one at the Tor. Have you been witness to any other events that you can share with us?
Well, regarding orbs, I found, and I started noticing this in maybe the early 90s, that being in different sites, especially if it was a powerful site in nature, it could be a site in an ancient spring or a stone, or it could be in a temple, it didn't seem to matter. Or a chapel somewhere where prayers are offered. And I found that photographs that were taken at those moments with making music, doing chants, playing the harp. I think the first big orb I noticed was when I was playing at a church mass for a friend's passing here in the village where I live. And a friend was in the pew and she took a photo. There's a huge orb and then many others all over the altar. And I was singing a song for the friend. And after that, and working with you, I know, and traveling together, making prayers or chants or singing in certain places has an effect of awakening these plasma forms, whether they are beings, spirit beings. I know sometimes they interact with us, they communicate. I find the same thing with what are called UFOs. We can communicate and respond. I've had those experiences. So all of these energies, science is now finding out, of course, that, you know, these plasma forms are surrounding the entire planet.
Yeah.
And there's a consciousness to it.
Yep. Yep. You know, I'm going to tell two quick stories here. You mentioned the chateau. Is that the Chateau de Puvel? I can't say it because I can't say it. Yeah, we went there, and I don't know if you remember this, but you, of course, brought your beautiful harp, and the music was amazing in there. And you told the story that this chateau was once a meeting place of the troubadours. And see, to me, you know, you're a modern day troubadour. I just love that about you. But we were in there doing that and listening to you. And of course, I'm snapping pictures as I always do. And up in the corner was an orb. And when I zoomed in on the orb, it was literally like a caricature of a troubadour, what we would think would be a troubadour with the big hat and the plume in the hat and the beard. And I went, holy moly, you know, there he is. You know, we reawakened or reconnected, you know, with a troubadour from the past by doing that. And the second time I was with you in Sedona, and it was after we had gone on our little tour, And we were back at your place and you were playing the harp. I don't know if you remember this. And you told me, well, I took a picture, and in the picture I could see a Native American older woman. And you told me, I believe at that time, that yes, you were aware that you had a Native American wise woman as a guide. So it's so interesting, you know, that you know, the music brought both of these amazing people in. And so anyway, I just love that story.
Beautiful. Are you going to tell the story of Rob using the EO chant and the sheep charging him, I think?
Well, my husband, he went on the first trip to Scotland because I was scared to death. I had never been out of the country. So he said, I'll go with you. So this isn't his cup of tea, but we called a Scotland tour the Orb and Ale tour. You know, as long as there was ale, he was fine. But he was a real trooper, and Ani had taught him the chant. And we were out hiking, and I believe it was on Iona. And there was a pasture of sheep. And so my husband Rob said, I'm gonna do the chant to those sheep and see what happens. And so he started, and the sheep picked up their heads and they all charged to it at the fence. We thought they were gonna run right through the fence. But what's fun, I mean, it's a funny story, Ani, but they felt that. Something drew them. Something resonated with them, right?
Absolutely. The whole animal kingdom. Every part of nature responds to our sounds. Singing to a child, singing to an animal, a tree, a stone. We've measured the energy fields and they expand. Everything changes because of our song.
Yeah.
Everything.
You know, people say thoughts are powerful. You know, and but so is sound, so are the words, you know, they last forever. Yeah, in the beginning there was the word. I just talked about that, you know, how was creation started? The word, sound. So it is it's like your guy just said on the picture that I showed. It's you know, sound is the force of creation, is what I still think. That's amazing that I picked your guide to quote today.
And I'm going to teach you how to say his name.
Okay. I'm so glad that you could say it. You know, I gave him credit, but I thought I'm not going to try and say this name. So Ani, we're coming to the end here. Oh my gosh, it went by so fast. But is there anything that you would like to share with the audience about what's coming up or your events or how they can reach you once again?
Well, we can put my contact on your show info, AniWilliams.com, and there's information on the music, articles on sound. I've written about the music of the stars and stones and all sorts of topics.
A wealth of information.
And I would just say for everyone, even if you've been told you can't carry a tune or you're tone deaf, do it anyway.
Yeah.
Do it anyway. Hum, sing, sigh, even a sigh of release is a frequency that heals. It's really simple. It's activating and expressing the emotions with the voice naturally. Ah.
Yeah.
Humming for each new day.
And your book. Now, I know you've been working on your book for a while, and I'm so looking forward to it. Any news on your upcoming book, a release date? Or
I just got a publisher, and I have an editor, and the ball's rolling. I just have to complete all the editing, and we're working on all the maps and images. We're hoping for late February for the public, release.
Well, please let me know and I will let my audience know. I'm anticipating this book. Everybody, if you get a chance, you've got to read Ani's book. You will learn so much. So I will do that. Ani, I just love you. I thank you again for your time. We'll have to do this again.
Yeah. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Stay with me, audience. We're going to get a message here from Leonini. Isn't she wonderful? I call her my old hippie friend. We just feel like soul sisters here. So I have a message from Ani and from Leonini. And this is one that I got a couple years ago, and it is about sound. So I thought I would read this one to you that I already had. It's Leonini says, in your physical world, you are bombarded by sound from all sides. Yours is a loud world. There are good sounds, and there are sounds that can have a negative impact on your very being. When the vibration of the sound is in resonance to the body's natural frequency, there is harmony. When the vibration is discordant, the body will feel out of tune. It is similar to the graph of a calm human heartbeat that displays a pattern and a rhythm with each beat. However, when the heart is overstimulated, the pattern becomes frenetic, and the heart must be slowed in order to resume its natural rhythm. Listening to soothing sounds, or even silence, can calm your energy. Allowing your body, to resume its natural rhythm with the universe. The right sound carries the ability to heal. Allow yourself to receive those healing benefits often. I channeled that 3 years ago, but how fitting it is for today's discussion. So I have a couple minutes left. I want to pull a quick card. I have my deck. It's called the Sacred Traveler. So I'm going to shuffle, and I will pull one card. I always do this with the intent that the message is hopeful, helpful, and healing, and that it serves the greater good. And so give me a minute here to shuffle, and then I will pull a card. I love this deck, especially, you know, with me just getting back from my travels. But, okay, so this one wanted to jump right out. Okay, so this is what the back of the card looks like. And this is the card that, It says view from above. And it says get the big picture. So it's this air balloons, that are flying. Hot air balloons, and there's a princess, or it looks like a princess in the basket, looking down at her kingdom, and it's so different when you get out of the. It's like if you're in the forest, and the saying you can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes our nose is right up against that one tree, and we miss the whole forest. So what Spirit is asking for all of us to do today is step back, broaden your view, look at it from a different perspective, be more inclusive. It's like we were talking about the young people today. They want to look for new solutions. So I think this card is perfect. Get a different view. Find a new way of doing things. Find a new way of thinking things. The old ways maybe have served their purpose, but they're out of date, perhaps, and we need to find new ways. So that would be the message for today. I also want to tell you about next show. I will have another special guest, and her name is Rebecca Rosen. And Rebecca Rosen is quite an incredible medium, channel, and teacher. And she's going to share her knowledge with us, and we'll have discussions, in-depth discussions, about what she calls your divine team, and more about your clairs, and how you can tap into those. So I have had several readings, and I've even worked with Rebecca. She's done huge group readings, and I've taken pictures as she's delivered readings, and the orbs will be there with the loved ones that she's talking about. Even she did a couple readings with some pets, and I took a picture, and the pet was in the orb. It was quite incredible. So I hope you tune in for that. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. Sound is so important. It's just another sphere of what we need to know about. It's about the ancient knowledge coming back into our lives, which I find so exciting. So thanks again for joining me. I'll look forward to seeing you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.